Hey there, my name is Mei Ling. I'm a certified life coach, trauma-trained practitioner, and trader, and welcome to my podcast, Finding Freedom in the Hologram. Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 7 of season 7. This feels kind of auspicious. Today, we're going to talk about, and again, this is going back to the rule of three, how you can best make yourself into the successful trader that you want to be, because you have it within you, inside of you, to do what it takes, okay? But there are three hats that I'm going to point out here. Again, the rule of three, there are three hats that you need to be able to embody and you need to be able to kind of shift in and out of. So for example, in your everyday life, already, this is a good example. You might be a daughter, a son, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother. You're a coworker, you're a boss, you're a colleague, right? You wear many different hats. To your barista, you may be this person, a regular customer who always order, you know, a long black or an Americano, or you have your favorite latte, right? Or you order matcha lattes. So you wear many different hats day to day. Now, to be a successful trader, you need to be able to wear three hats. And I'm going to call them the three G's. So, number one, you need to be able to wear the hat of a general, like a general in the army. Okay, so this is all about discipline. So there are times when you need to be your own general. You need to be your own drill sergeant yelling in your own ear, telling you, oh, I don't feel like doing this today. Oh, it's a Sunday. It's such a beautiful day. I don't really feel it like sitting down and doing my charting to prepare for the week. This is when your inner general needs to come out and says, hey, if you want to achieve the lifestyle that you want to achieve, you want to be able to make the money that you want to make through trading, then you got to do your charts, okay? So the general needs to come out. So first of all, you need to know your triggers, right? What are the things that will tempt you? For example, Sunday afternoon, the weather is nice. That's the prime time when your friends and your family, your cousins and your grandma or whatever always has occasions and lunches out and brunches or whatever, right? If you know that the weekends are super busy or your kids have sporting events or whatever, right? Then shift it. Shift the time when you do your charting instead of Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, or maybe late Sunday night if you are a night owl, or do things first thing Monday morning if that's possible. So shift things around. Know your temptation, right? Know when it's like tempting you to do the opposite of what you want to do, to move away from what you ought to be doing. And then prepare in advance for that so that you are least likely to be tempted to do something else, to be distracted, to do anything but the task that you're meant to do. Okay? And the second thing is you can use habit stacking. So, for example, this is an example in terms of fitness. Let's say you think like, okay, I don't have time to go to the gym. However, maybe whenever every morning you brew your coffee, and while the coffee's brewing, while the coffee's percolating, in my case, I use a French press, you know, I'm waiting for the coffee, the whole coffee to be made, you know, and there's some waiting time there, I can do my 25 push-ups. Yes, I am that person that does 25 push-ups while I wait for my coffee to brew. Right? So you're going to have that time anyway. So you might as well stack one habit, because if you have a habit that's ingrained every morning, for me, it's my morning coffee. Then while I know that that is going on, then I can stack another habit against it. Okay? So for your trading, think about what habits that you can stack. What is it that you already do? And then think about how you can relate and stack a trading-related task on top of that. And number three, you've got to track. You got to have a habit tracker. So if it's a new habit, you got to have something visible. And there are notebooks for this. I just tell my clients to use a very simple 30-day calendar. You know those wall calendars that you can buy on your wall? Ones with like cute cats or amazing places. Or one time my partner had like, I don't know, tractors or something, because he's an Irish guy who grew up on a farm. He bought a wall calendar with tractors on it. So, you know, simple, right? easy, cheap. You buy a wall calendar, you put it up, or a desk calendar, similar thing but smaller, and then you annotate, right? Maybe there are three things that you need to do every day. Maybe it's like make your bed, do your workout, review your trades. Those three things, right? And then just think to yourself, do I do these habits every single day? And then you just put a tick. You know, if you did all three things that day, you just tick it. But you need to have a tracker because our human brains are so fallible, right? We can lie to ourselves. We think, oh yeah, I think I did it. I think I did it, not do it. But unless you track it and it's visible, you don't know for sure. And when you have something on like a calendar, you can see at one glance all 30 days. You can see your progress, right? Or you can see how many days you've slacked off. And that might actually motivate you to go, oh no, I want to like keep going on, you know. It's kind of like Duolingo. I don't know if how many of you have used that Duolingo app. And it's a language learning app. So it actually incorporates quite a lot of human psychology in the app to make it kind of addictive for people to use it so they continue their streaks. So if you ever use Duolingo, if you practice that language, right, you spend, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes every day. First of all, if you put the sound on your phone, you can hear that thung, thung. You know, it's like, oh, you got things right. You know, like, yes, you guessed it correctly. You guessed the word, the meaning, the grammar, how to use that word in a sentence. They give you that sound. So that sound becomes addicting to you. It's kind of like a winner's bell, right? So that's number one. And then number two, they will tell you if you have done 2, 3, 4 Duolingo practices in 4 days in a row, you'd be like, yes, congratulations, you've got a 4-day streak. So you can see that, right? And so people don't want to break their streaks and they want to keep making sure that they are on a good streak and it's unbroken. And so sometimes they might think, oh, I don't have time. But then they think, no, I don't want to break that streak. And so they go on and practice it. Same thing with your calendar. That's why you mark it. You want to have things visible because if you see like 8 green ticks in a row, then you think, oh no, do you want a 1 red cross, right? To mar all of the hard work that you've done. So that is actually psychological motivation for you that you can see, especially if you're a visual person. So those are the three things when you wear the hat as a general. And for my clients, I go into further detail about how to do each and everything that's more particular and tailored to them, okay? But this is good enough for you to start working on your temptations, what your habits, what can be stacked together, and just start a very simple tracking system. Number two, you need to wear the hat of being your own guide. So let's say, for example, you go overseas, and usually there's a guide for either a very beautiful architectural building, a museum, or if you go out into a wildlife park, a jungle, right, you need a guide. Some people have a trekking guide, a mountaineering guide, where they know the lay of the land. And you are new there. You may not know what you should be looking for, what you should not, what you should be avoiding, what you should definitely go to this place where there's a beautiful lookout, right? So there's a guide to tell you, okay? So you need to learn how to be your own guide, to trust your own instincts, your own intuition, your own ability, okay? And it starts from decision making. You have to learn that, are you going to make good decisions or bad decisions? What does a good decision mean to you? What does a bad decision mean to you? You know, how does your brain interpret it? And then later on, should a decision turn bad, what does that mean? Does that mean that you can learn from it, that you will never make that mistake again? Or does that mean that you beat yourself up and consider yourself like a loser and you want to give up, right? So you have to decide what these things mean for you in the first place, right? The definitions in advance. And then think to yourself, okay, what is my fallback plan? What is my plan B should this not work out? And I want you to go through this exercise in a very rational, logical manner. Right? I want you to think, if you tell this to somebody, like if you tell this to a dog, right? If you want to train a dog through an obstacle course, you say, okay, this is what you do. If you see something that's too high for you, you know, that you can't jump over, then this is what you do. You dig under instead, right? Or you look out for this. Maybe there's a window that you can go through that's a different height, right? So if you train your dog how to do this, then it can problem solve. It can find a way out. Or maybe it'll try and turn back and find a different way, okay? I want you to do this very logically so that you don't think to yourself, oh, it has to be this, otherwise it has to be all or nothing. It has to be pass or fail. It has to succeed or nothing, right? So decide in advance how you're going to make decisions, that you are going to learn to trust yourself and love the decisions that you've made no matter what happens. And then you're going to decide a different course of action should certain things turn out the way that you didn't expect it to be, okay? And in a way, if you've prepared in advance so much, nothing actually becomes unexpected anymore, right? So that's a good thing. So now, when you become a guide and when you wear the hat of being your own guide, in the beginning, all of us has intuition, right? We know when we are walking down an alley or a street, and sometimes you hear like, it's super quiet, but you have just this niggling feeling that either somebody is looking at you or somebody is following you behind. Okay, and this, you know, I'm assuming that you're not having like headphones on and your music is blaring, which I never recommend, especially if you're female. If you're walking alone in the dark, please either have it playing like really softly so you can still hear your surrounds and be aware, you know, or don't wear anything at all, especially if you're in a place that's unfamiliar for you. But, right, so if you're walking down the street and you can hear things, it's a quiet night, you only hear your own footsteps, but you have this niggling feeling that either somebody is looking out through their window looking at you, or you're being followed. But you can't explain it. And you turn your head and you look around and there's nobody there. But you have instinct. You have intuition, okay? Now, this instinct and intuition, you have to learn and cultivate for trading, okay? When you're looking at candlesticks and chart patterns and you know a ticker so well, it's like, you know that saying when some kids are like, I don't know how my mom knows this. It's like she has eyes on the back of her head, right? You got to know that familiarity, you know, the cycles of each ticker, right? So if you're new and you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to find a mentor. You need to find a coach, right? That knows these patterns, what course or program that you want to learn, a strategy that you want to learn in trading, so that you can look through their eyes, you can see what they are seeing. And then you get to learn for yourself how you can identify those patterns for yourself so that you know when to enter, when to exit, where to put your stop loss, okay? So you need a mentor. If you don't know already know how to be your own guide when it comes to trading, right? When it comes to looking on the charts. So the first one, again, it's intuition. And then reading the charts, you know, knowing exactly what strategy, how to enter, how to exit, where to put your stop loss. If you don't have that pinned down, you need to find a mentor, somebody you can learn from. And I would say that stick to one strategy, right? If you go on YouTube and you join and you follow multiple, I don't know, so-called gurus, and you join multiple discords and you read multiple books and everything seems to be contradictory to each other because you're learning from an intraday trader, you're learning from a swing trader, you're learning somebody from who does Forex, you learn somebody from doing futures, you learn somebody from doing options. These assets have different factors to be considering, right? Like futures, you don't have to think about theta. And if it, again, you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to find a mentor, a trading mentor, okay? Or read more books or just, you know, learn the lay of the land. So let's say the attitude that you should approach it, it's kind of like when you're traveling to a new country where the local language is something that you don't understand, you know, and then you read a guidebook, right? You read travel guides. You start to make an opinion. You go to, like for me in the beginning, I went to Lonely Planet forums. I even went to the French version of the Lonely Planet forum when I wanted to go to Madagascar, because back when I went to Madagascar, there was so little information on it. It was mainly the Francophone community that had more information because Madagascar used to be colonized by the French, and France have been flying direct to Madagascar for ages. And so the community of travelers that have been to Madagascar were more French speaking than English speaking. Okay, so then you need to find the guy, you need to look at forums, you need to ask colleagues and friends who've been there, right? You start getting more and more information, and then you decide which way you want to go. Okay, you decide whether you want to do a Contiki tour, you decide whether you want to do Airbnb, you decide whether you want to be your own guide and ride a bike, you know, from here to there, or you decide that you want to join a group to trek across the Alps, right? You have many different options, but you got to start somewhere. And this is the same for your trading journey, okay? And the last thing I want to say is that when you are your own guide, you have to be open-minded, right? You have to be open-minded that you may start somewhere and then you realize that that's not for you. And then, okay, that is an opportunity that you go, okay, now I'm open to finding some other strategy, to finding some other mentor, okay? Again, whatever you do, nothing is engraved in stone, right? Nothing is set in stone. You always have the choice to decide, this is not working for me. Let's find something that works, okay? So again, if you are driving down a road and a big tree, right, the tree has fallen across the road after a big storm, what are you going to do, right? You have options, okay? Okay, so you have to think to yourself, what kind of options do you decide to then make when it comes to the fork in the road, okay? So be open-minded. If you say right from the beginning, it's got to be this way, it's got to be my way or the highway, right? Then you're actually closing off all these potential opportunities in the future before you even get there. Okay, so just be open-minded. Now, the third hat that you've got to wear is a guardian. Now, what do I mean by a guardian? I mean your emotions and your psychology, mental health. You've got to be your own guardian to be able to learn how to create safety in your own brain. Because if you all have heard my podcast or, you know, followed me on Instagram, this is what I preach all day, every day, is that the emotional part of your brain, the limbic part of your brain, the part that is the monkey brain of yours, monkey always gets first dibs in making a decision, right? In very risky, new, unfamiliar environments, your monkey goes, I get to make the decision first because I have to decide whether this is safe first before we can continue, okay? Now, trading as a rule is inherently risky. So when you start to find fear, you're in fight, flight, freeze mode, right? All of a sudden, your trading plan goes out the window because your heartbeat goes racer and you think that you're going to get a heart attack by looking at the options premium go up and down, right? Your monkey comes into play. And I can tell you, when your monkey brain is activated, your logic goes out the window and good luck in actually following your trading plan. So you need to, number one, know when your monkey is activated, prepare in advance, and practice such that your monkey and your computer brain goes, I know what to do. So what do I mean by your computer brain? If it's unfamiliar, your monkey will ask the computer, which is your stored memories, hey, have we been through this situation before? What do we do? And then your computer will come up with a program. This is why your subconscious programs are so important. Because if you are subconsciously led to believe that, you know, trading is gambling, that I'll never succeed this, that secretly I say I want to be wealthy, but really I don't want to be because I think I might lose my friends. And, you know, people will say that I've changed and I actually really like my friends, or I really don't know how to deal with success. If you have any of those subconscious beliefs and your computer brings up, your monkey brain goes, okay. And then it reacts and responds according to that. Okay. And then your human brain is the last, you know, the last part of you that gets to make a decision, but by then it's too late, okay? And most likely you would have sustained a loss in that particular trading environment. So you need to learn how to reassure yourself, your emotional monkey brain self, as part of being a guardian when you wear your guardian hat, right? You need to know what triggers you, okay? And in this case, you really need to look at your ego and your fears. And with this, you need to prep beforehand. As I said, know what triggers you. And then you need to practice implementing. How do I reassure myself in moments of panic? Right? What are the things? What are the simple things I can do immediately? And I've gone through a lot of this in my Instagram videos, you know, and my lives. If you haven't seen, I've done really short bits where you can actually go on and then I show you instances of how you can calm yourself down, how you can remind yourself, how to put reminders on your trading office, the environment, so that it pulls you out of that panic zone, right? And brings you back to reality so that you can make a good decision. So again, as a guardian, when you wear the hat of a guardian, you need to reassure yourself, right, to create safety for yourself and your brain during a risky trading environment. You need to prep beforehand to know exactly what makes you feel that this is risky, that fears start to creep in. And then after that, you just need to practice such that it's no longer unfamiliar, right? You are creating a new program that will be zipped up, the file will be zipped up and then archived underneath, and that will be your new subconscious program, okay? So again, the three hats are: you need to learn how to be a general when it comes to discipline. You need to learn how to be your own guide, right? In unfamiliar, new territory, how do I make decisions? How do I create my own learning syllabus, right? My own curriculum. Create your own degree, you know, choose your own elective, right? Back at college. And then number three, learn how to be your own guardian. Know exactly how your nervous system reacts in different situations, in risky situations, right? Do you freeze? Do you doubt yourself? Do you not able to get out of a trade when you should be getting out of a trade? Or do you hold on to your losers too long? Or you don't know how to hold on to your winners? You just see a little bit of green and you get out, and then later on you realize that you could have gained much more, and then you kick yourself, right? So different traders have different proclivities, right? You have different tendencies during a risky environment. So get to know yourself. Be aware of what you're like. And I know this is uncomfortable. Trading is all about getting out of your comfort zone, expanding this discomfort zone so that it actually becomes your comfort zone now. So you'll find that when you learn how to master and manage your own psychology, learn to manage that monkey brain of yours, it not only positively affects your trading life, it also affects your relationships with others, right? How you handle different situations, right? The next time you go trekking, hiking, kayaking, scuba diving, how you react to problems on the spot, you'll realize that you are much better able to handle these kind of emergencies because you've got a hold of your own psychology. Nothing truly fazes you anymore. And that's why I find that these tools are extremely, extremely powerful. So, hopefully you found this episode useful, and I'll see you next time. Bye.